Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Captain's log, stardate 48579.4. The crew has been scanning constantly for anomalies that might help us shorten our journey home. Ensign Kim has reported an exciting discovery, a subspace disturbance which may be a wormhole.
Let's see what you have, Mr. Kim.
There. It's registering only on subspace bands. We don't even have it on long-range sensors yet.
Verteron emanations. Tunneling secondary particles. It certainly looks like a wormhole.
But is it stable enough for us to enter? And if it is, where does it lead?
There is, of course, a 75% chance a wormhole will not lead to the Alpha Quadrant.
Very true. But you can also say there's a 1 in 4 chance it will. Those aren't bad odds. Any analysis yet, Ensign?
Too far away. We'd have to be within 1,000 kilometers to get a detailed analysis. That would mean a significant course change.
Well, Mr. Kim, if there's even the possibility of finding a wormhole, I think we can afford a detour.
Hello, and welcome to...
Hello. Yeah?
Okay.
To what? What are we doing?
Hello.
Because I don't know what we're doing.
Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
I enjoyed studying anatomy.
Well done, Dan.
All right.
Hi, everyone.
Isn't that, she has this really like dark, determined look on her face mm-hmm. when she's talking about anatomy. You can't tell if it's for like violent reasons or perverted reasons.
Those are the two options
for why she likes anatomy.
Honestly, I
why wouldn't is, why wouldn't there be another reason?
Yeah. Those are the only because if you look at watch it again and look
you
at her
watch
face.
It again.
Look at her. I already watched it. And I've already noted the look on her face. You do the same and get back to me and tell me she's not thinking about either A, violence, or B, perversion.
You're missing it. Everybody's missing out on Dan like wagging his fingers.
wagging multiple fingers around. And people don't even know what episode we're talking about. Teasing, unless so. Of course, you know, they looked at the at
of course. The, at the and quite expertly too. And quite expertly too. And quite expertly too.
He keeps referencing.
And quite expertly too.
She or her, and.
And quite expertly too.
People might not know what that's about. So we
quite expertly too.
Those
quite expertly
people,
too.
Them.
Expertly too. Expertly too. Expertly too. Expertly too. Expertly too. Expertly too. Expertly too.
Isn't that funny how he says that word? Listen how he says this.
Of course. And quite expertly too.
He doesn't say. He says quite expertly.
Expertly.
I just want to note, Dan, that I'm formally acknowledging. That you've played that clip.
Expertly too. Expertly too. Expertly too. Expertly too.
Another thing I didn't catch while watching the episode, it is an interesting, strange thing, a strange way he's pronounced that.
And quite expertly too.
But it's just one of those things, and you play it back to back, it sounds cool.
He's
expertly too. Expertly too. Expertly too. Expertly too. Expertly too. Expertly too.
I can't deny that.
It sounds like he's saying sparkly poo, right?
Yeah.
Expertly too. Expertly too. Expertly too.
Sounds like he's saying sparkly, sparkly poo.
Sparkly too.
I mean, you
sparkly
can,
poo.
I mean, you can keep saying that. It doesn't sound like that to me. It just sounds like he's saying
like what a unicorn poops.
And expertly too.
And quite expertly too.
Quite expertly. Yeah. Right.
Of course. And quite expertly too.
Well, we're doing a good job of having a nice calm beginning to this episode. It's a
ship. There's no need to get right into it.
It's a relaxed
fool around a bit.
It's a relaxed episode.
Is there really much to talk about in this episode?
It's one of those old-fashioned, really relaxing Star Trek episode.
It's one of those things where nothing really happens till the last like 12 minutes, basically.
It's got Tom Virtue in it.
Tom Virtue plays Baxter?
He plays all sorts of roles.
He's Baxter now. Don't we find out that Baxter is part of like the secret the Section 31 or whatever?
I don't remember.
Isn't there something with Baxter? Isn't there some deal with Baxter?
I remember he was being obnoxious in some other episode.
Yeah, he's usually kind of a...
And he kept talking about the gym in this episode. Wasn't there another... Was it him that was also in another episode talking about the gym?
Maybe that's his deal.
I think he's in a few episodes of Voyager, yeah.
I swear there
was... talking about working out his guns.
I mean, I seem to remember, and I couldn't... Maybe this isn't Baxter, maybe this is a different character altogether, but I seem to have conflated Baxter then with this other character that was part of Section 31 who also talked about... I could be conflating three characters.
Oh,
Baxter
shit.
With someone who was in Section 31 with someone else who was always talking about being in the gym, because he was talking about being in the gym this episode, and I swear there was another time some other character... When we noted it, we covered the episode and we all noted it in the episode. They're like, whoa, this guy keeps talking about working out this episode. But it wasn't this one now.
It was not this episode.
It was another one.
He was in The Fresh Prince.
That we haven't even discussed. We haven't even mentioned.
Oh.
As I said before...
Two different episodes.
That we haven't mentioned the title of the episode
different,
yet.
Different characters.
And we're so far gone from the title, I might even... Oh, I remember the title now. I didn't remember it. I saw it in my notes.
He was in an episode of Enterprise.
The actor? What's his name? Vince Peroni? Vince Peroni?
He was in 21 Jump Street.
What's his name? What's the actor's name?
Tom Virtue.
I was close.
Tom Virtue.
So
no, Vin, you're thinking of
I'm
like,
not. Vaughn Armstrong.
Vaughn Armstrong, right?
Who is as prolific? Certainly, nearly as prolific
as Tom Virtue. He played.
He was in Malcolm in the
Middle. Oh no, I'm sorry. Tom Virtue wasn't in. Vaughn Armstrong was the one in Enterprise. Sorry,
yes,
that's what
Vaughn
I meant.
What I was trying to say is that people often talk about how many characters Jeffrey Combs has played across Star Trek, and that is true. He has played many characters, but Vaughn Armstrong's right up there with him, playing all sorts of aliens, but. Of course, probably most familiar to folks who've watched Enterprise because he was a good old Admiral Vaughn, right? Isn't that the joke? His name is Vaughn Armstrong. And when did he like Admiral Vaughn?
No, he was Telek.
Admiral Forrest, not Admiral Vaughn.
He's Telek.
No, in this episode, he's Telek. But on Enterprise, he's Admiral Forrest, right?
So there is no joke.
There is no joke.
That's the joke, right? Nope. There's no joke. Oh, wait, we don't know what we're talking about yet, do we?
I mean, you know. We kind of do. So,
we
got Star Trek podcast. This is episode number 335.
Aha,
if I've got
335,
I've got my counting correct. 335 is alive.
This is 335.
This is a surprise.
This is 335.
good
reference, Jesse.
No.
And in episode 335. Of the It's Got Star Trek.
Jesse's
podcast.
Doing it.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was a call.
Said Mon.
I was just seeing if you were paying attention.
Yeah, I know.
And I will stop now.
This is one of those little podcast continuity things.
Continuity.
If I say continuity, Dan gets mad. So
I don't get mad. I just correct you.
Okay. Fair.
Wait.
You should be getting mad at yourself.
How do you say it? Any correction?
I say it both ways. I say it continuity, and sometimes I say continuity.
He says
I think continuity is a perfectly cromulent way to pronounce it.
He says continuity more than he says continuity. He only says continuity when he's correcting himself from saying continuity.
Sometimes I say Penelope instead of Penelope.
Sometimes.
What end?
Which is,
Penelope.
Sometimes it's meant to be funny, and sometimes it's because I'm stupid. And I forget.
Sometimes my brain hurts.
I forget that Penelope is spelled Penelope. Anyway.
Yeah, well, just read it. You know.
Yeah, this week we are discussing the Star Trek Voyager episode, Eye of the Needle.
It would be interesting to see an autopsy sometime.
Okay.
Yeah,
so, Dan, you are strengthening your argument. It's not that I disagreed with your earlier observation. Can you play her saying what was the anatomy business? Play that again.
I enjoyed studying anatomy.
All right, so...
It would be interesting to see an autopsy sometime.
So...
Like, she studied it and that's it? Like, she learned everything she could
learn? She was looking at wieners.
Well, yeah. I'm sure.
And she was thinking about perverted and violent things to do to them.
Well, I mean, you keep saying perverted.
And vaginas.
I'm uncomfortable with the... and I'm sure you don't intend it this way, although correct me if I'm wrong, because perversion suggests something wrong, distasteful action. Learning about anatomy is for sexual purposes is nothing. That's not perverted. It's...
No, I'm not learning about it. No,
you gotta use anatomy.
No, I never said learning about anatomy is perverted. I'm saying that the way she said it, mm-hmm. like denotes perversion.
It was suggestive.
But do you mean perversion as in something that you perceive to be a distasteful act, or are you just talking about sensual?
Did you see the look in her eyes?
I admit I did not. I did not catch this watching.
She goes. I enjoyed studying anatomy in this way that was like.
I didn't really pick up.
You got to read between the lines, guys. Well, come on.
I mean,
all right.
Isn't she like 2 years old or something?
Yeah, damn.
Well, she's learning.
Well, okay. But which
in any other context would sound horrible. But that's how they work.
You got to pass on this one.
Yeah.
I don't want to go down this road anymore.
Yeah, we're done. We're done on this road.
Yeah. All right. But I decided to go a different direction with my opening sound bits today. I was gonna play something else, but then I was like, why don't I just play these sounds instead?
Okay.
Because they have absolutely nothing. This isn't the theme of the episode. There's nothing thematic about those. Usually the sounds I pick at the beginning are thematic to the episode. This has nothing to do with that.
Did you catch when B'Elanna was like, I'm on it?
B'Elanna's on it.
Yeah, but she was like, I'm on it.
That was from a different episode.
She's like, starts working on something. She's like, I'm on it. And I was like, B'Elanna's on it. Anyway.
All right, Dan's now reviewing his sounds, and the look on his face is that he's concerned that he may not have captured.
B'Elanna's on it.
That's from like a very different episode which one is that from? No, is that from Muse?
It's like a simulation.
Wait.
I'm on it.
Yeah. That's it. You're right.
You got it.
You're right. I can't believe I didn't put that together. I'm such a jerk. Good job, Jesse.
But you still got it.
Still got it.
Like, still got it, Dan.
I was like, B'Elanna's on it.
I'm on it. B'Elanna's on it.
Now, Dan.
I'm on it.
Now, Dan. Do you want to let us know?
Do you want to play with me?
Well, yes, precisely. You have all these little games and doohickeys and
right. I make no promises.
You got all your doohickeys
and whatnots.
Who's it?
Each week, sometimes you got some lists of things. Sometimes you got some duties or no duty or no duties, which is a fun game to play.
You think
that's in orders.
We got one of them.
You might have some secret.
Dan can't stand.
Dan can't stands. Those are fun. When you rant about something.
I'm not sure.
I'll
have to give it some thought.
There's all manner of things that.
Ken don't bend.
Ken don't bend. I want to play Ken don't bend.
Not Ben.
But Dan, any of that business for us this week?
There was no duty or no duties.
Yeah.
All right.
You sound sad about that.
Well,
I'm a little sad.
I have.
there was a Janeway in a slinky outfit.
I have. Yeah.
We'll talk about
her like pajamas.
We'll talk about that.
Are you talking about glamorous sleeping Janeway?
Yeah.
Right, with her hair's all flowing.
Yeah, I know. It's like, because that's how.
That's an interesting.
She's like the 19th century.
My hair is like a quarter of the length of that. It doesn't look like that when I'm sleeping.
So no duty or no duties.
There's a 5-point list called Overeager Janeway.
Overeager Janeway. Any of that's in orders?
No.
No, that's in orders.
That's in order. That's in order.
I didn't see that fucking Neelix guy one.
No.
Oh, that's right.
There's no Neelix.
Fucking Neelix.
I didn't even notice there was no Neelix.
Yeah.
There was no Neelix.
Right.
Maybe that's why I found this episode.
I don't think there was very little Tom Paris.
So this episode was relaxing. It was soporific.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It was a very relaxing episode.
You're absolutely right.
And the lack of Neelix, I didn't pick up on it, but I think Neelix always, for good or ill, generates a certain degree of anxiety in me. Just his visage.
That's exactly right.
Seeing him sort of wobble onto the scene and be like, I got some ridiculous goo.
Yeah.
That's certainly true.
And I'm like, oh no, what's going to happen?
Correct.
So I did. There's a
he
lot.
It makes everybody uncomfortable.
I wasn't very observant this episode. I didn't notice all that Dan weird stuff Dan noticed. I'm sure there's other stuff he noticed that he hasn't revealed.
Of course.
Yet.
Yeah. All will be revealed.
Yeah.
By the end of this.
I make no promises.
But we have all that to expect from Dan. We'll begin.
I promise.
We'll begin this discussion in earnest.
I also had this isn't really probably a good list, but for some reason I decided, I don't know why, maybe I had nothing, no other notes to take, but I decided to like list every scene and say what happens in each scene. Okay. I'm not suggesting that we go through this because it's just
scene by scene, but I was just trying to break down what exactly happened in this episode and why did it take so long for anything to happen.
Yeah.
It's just like every scene every scene they're just kind of talking about what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Like in the sleep scene, like they go back and forth. It's like, I don't trust you, you don't trust me. Well, let's trust each other. I don't know. Should we trust each other? Well, blah blah blah, back and forth for 5 minutes, you know? And then before that they had another scene where it's just like, we're in the Delta Quadrant, and they're like, no, you're not. Yes, we are. No, you are. Yes, we are. Oh no, I don't believe you. Oh, hang on. And then there's another 5 minutes of her going like, okay, I'm trying to get him back. Okay, we got to get him back. But before that, there was 5 minutes of like, we have a probe that's going through this thing. Is it going to make it through? I don't know. It got stuck in an eddy. Oh no. Hey, we sent some messages. Oh, someone. It just took forever for anything to happen.
They had to say all kinds of crazy techno babble jargon too.
I like what Dan's doing there. Is
a subspace disturbance, which may be a wormhole.
Dan is a real artist here, a podcast artist, because at first he said he has a not very good list of every scene.
It certainly looks like a wormhole.
He said he didn't have a lot of notes, but then he described what seems to be a lot of notes about every single scene.
Well,
and then he started telling them out of order like a meta Pulp Fiction joke.
Well, I was just telling.
No, I liked it. I enjoyed this.
I
didn't know where you were going to go next. It was exciting. What's happening? This is some Tarantino-esque, some Chris Nolan-style mind-boggling presentation of information.
I'll try extrapolating the Verderon exit vector.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. And,
very useful point. Just real quick, since you played that clip, I was reminded about how quickly it's right in season one where Voyager is gets the reputation for being technobabble central, right? Where technobabble used to be a little MacGuffin here or there just to help the plot along, and by the time of Voyager, it was just like every fucking sentence is like goobly gobbly goobly gob goobly gob goobly gob.
Yeah. By the way, I like if I were to actually go through this list, it's a pretty long list of a lot of nothing happening.
What
by
about
the
Smazzle Horn? Oh, I don't know.
And it should tell you something about this episode that this is the episode easily I have the most, because you know how I split my sounds into different sections, right? You know,
I knew that.
And I have a whole
briefly. What are some of those sections? Positive, negative.
I'm about to.
I didn't realize
I was not done talking.
You were gearing up.
Yes.
So I apologize.
We should all be patient and wait for the pause.
We should all be patient.
Wait for the tactful pause in which it's time for the other person to speak.
Yes. Wow.
So some of my sections, there'll be like sections like that talking about the general. It is good or it is bad. Like, for example,
very impressive.
That means it's good. It's like, it's kind of good. Or this.
This is preposterous.
No, it's bad.
I see.
You know?
Yes.
Or I can say, like, you're good.
My congratulations on your remarkable accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. That's saying you're good.
Now, is that a separate section or is that a subset
That's a separate section.
So it's not a subset of the previous.
No, okay, it's underneath it. Then there's a version for me, like I think blah, 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 or I might like that. That's me. Mm. And then there's a they section, like.
Let's assume he's going to be successful.
Let's assume he's going to be successful. Mm-hmm. You might think it's an I because it's let's, but it's about he is successful. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing here.
That's what you're doing.
This is more evidence that we need to do a podcast about our podcast.
Yeah. By the way, she does this twice.
Let's assume he's going to be successful. You may be right, but I'd rather assume that he's going to be successful. Let's assume he's going to be successful.
So anyway, that's a side quest there. But I have another section of like how I don't know how to describe this. So I have a section of just no.
Okay.
In the negatory, like just straight up no's or something very close to
Milana's
a no.
Milana's not on it.
Yeah, Milana's not on it. It would be one. No, that would probably get its own section. but I have like
yes.
That's like, you know, an affirmation, but also in that
was that Harry Kim saying yes?
Yes, it was.
All right.
Sound like.
But then also I can have
I've got good Kimdar.
Kimdar, yes.
Precisely.
See, all these are part of the same section. Like, look.
That's certainly true.
Of course. Agreed.
That's exactly right.
You see how those are all kind of like the same thing? Mm-hmm. Now, when you start going towards the middle, that's also part of the same sentence. These are more like in responses to in questions or something. Like you could also say.
I promise.
That kind of fits in the section. Mm-hmm. Or you could say.
Okay.
Or.
Very well.
Or.
I'm on it. Do it, Lieutenant.
I understand.
Those are all these kinds of, like, I don't know how you describe that, but they're sort of, like, sort of,
not affirmations, but they're sort of
mental. I'm not jokingly.
Yeah, I don't know what you. I really don't know what you'd call that. It's just sort of like.
But it is a category that has meaning for you, even if you haven't been able to apply a pre-existing label to it. Which, yeah, because, by the way, is perfectly fine.
Because it's just originally it just started as affirmations, magic, as wherever anyone said yes, but it turned into like from yes to okays to I don't knows to maybes.
What about I'm not jokingly?
No, that's its own thing. Yeah. Anyways,
that's in the favorites.
So in this section, that starts.
Yes,
we'll just call it the affirmations, even though it contains more than just that. Mm-hmm. This episode had the most of any episode we've done so far of this section
of all Star Trek shows.
Of all that we've done so far. So, which means that their general responses in this episode were very generic, is what it means.
Generic or positive?
Generic. What I'm saying, because it's not just yes, it's like general generic responses, like.
Okay, very well.
Acknowledged.
Right. I have no objection. Agreed, of course.
That is correct.
Yes.
I see. You think.
I'm on.
I'm not sure. I'll have to give it some thought.
You see, it's like, yes, okay, I promise. I don't know, maybe. Like, it's kind of like if you ask me a question and you were like, Dan, what do you think about this? Or Dan, do you think blah, blah, blah? I could say yes. Or I could say, I don't know. I could say maybe. You know, it's things like that would answer that kind of, respond to that kind of thing. So what I'm trying to say is this episode was technobabble sprinkled in with a bunch of just generic responses of like, hey, Harry Kim, Harry Kim, do this. And he'll be like, okay. Or like, do you think this is good? Yes, I do. Hey, Chakotay, do that. Acknowledged. A lot of those kinds of responses. Yeah. I'm hoping I'm getting my point across.
Oh, absolutely. But, very interesting, actually. So, I didn't really notice that exactly, but...
I didn't notice it until I put the sounds together. And it makes sense because this episode, like I said, there was a whole lot of nothing happening in this episode. Yes. There was some techno babble and just a lot of, like, not much happening. Yeah. So there wasn't, like, there wasn't a lot of speech directed at specific subjects.
Well, I agree with what you're talking about, the episode, with one caveat in that... I forgot, since it had been such a long time since I'd seen this episode, I forgot how crucial this episode was to the Doctor gaining independence.
That's true. That is a very important aspect of this.
Important B plot.
Yes. And so this episode, the A plot is they find a hilariously small, like it's a comically small,
like 30 centimeters.
Wormhole. The wormhole.
So it's got a Hank Hill wormhole.
This tiny little wormhole. And then the B plot is the Doctor with the help of Kes, who is some weirdly unacknowledged in this episode for the fact that she was the one that drove all this. She observed the Doctor was maybe not feeling great even before he did. She was the one who helped intervene with Janeway, etc. Anyway, that's the B plot. And then there's this little C plot of Kes being wanting to learn more about anatomy, and of course we know that eventually she becomes the medic. She helps the Doctor on a more permanent basis.
One more thing I want to say about that. So earlier when I was saying like there's like it's like when you're talking about the subject of it,
very impressive,
which is good.
Mm-hmm. This is preposterous.
That's bad. This is a separate section from the one I previously, which was general. Like okay, no, yes, maybe. I don't know. I don't understand. Actually, no gets its own section. But so you have those, and then you have like I said.
My congratulations on your remarkable accomplishment.
See how that directs it at you? That's at you. Yeah. Or they're like,
I might like that.
Which is me. I'm talking about me. Mm-hmm. Usually the sounds are dominated by those. Like, very impressive. Oh, perfect. Oh, that's great. Not bad. Or like, I feel great. What are you doing? You're stupid. That guy's an idiot. Like usually the episode.
And again, to the audience at home, Dan is acting out.
Yeah.
With his very expressive face and live body.
Genesis Live.
It's Genesis, almost as live as Genesis Live from Starfleet.
You can't do this on Nintendo.
Okay, so anyways, what I'm trying to say is that usually the episodes are dominated by those kinds of sounds, and there's not nearly as many of the general response ones that I gave initially, but there are about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... Over six lines of, there's seven sounds to a line. There's like six lines of these general ones that I don't usually have that much of.
Okay, this is a little bit more opaque, Dan.
No, okay, but no, let me fucking finish what I'm saying. Sorry. Let me finish. All right.
Give him
it
a chance,
it is,
man.
It is opaque when you don't let me explain myself.
Yeah,
explain.
Good points.
Okay? It'll make sense. Right. If you just be patient. So there's six lines of these like general sort of like responses that I've said like, yes, no, yes, maybe, exactly. I have no objection. There's like six lines of those things. Usually there's a lot fewer. There's not even six lines of all the other sections combined.
Wow.
So,
interesting.
If you don't count like some of the other sections I didn't mention, but like the ones that are usually dominate the whole thing, they are dwarfed by this one section of general responses, and which is very telling because it just,
it's a neutral episode.
I wish I was able to better explain what I'm saying, but I think you maybe kind of get the idea of like, something that is usually just as one of five different things now dwarfs all the other four things.
No, absolutely. It's quite interesting. Actually. Yeah.
I think this is going to come across as a joke. It is not intended as a joke. It is intended to be 100% sincere. You really ought to write a paper.
Yeah.
Because you have the data.
Or a book.
I mean, strictly speaking, it would probably be a good idea to do like one season of a show and do it like whatever. But you've cataloged all these things.
Yeah.
And you could determine if there is some sort of pattern in with regard to something emerges from this fact. Or you could just put the data there. Put the data set out there and let's see if somebody else can figure it out.
Then let's do it.
We should do it.
Is Kes like learning like at a faster rate or something? Well, is she absorbing information because like she has such a short lifespan?
The doctor suggested that she had an eidetic memory, which is, you know, the where you remember everything and it's sort of a nightmare. So she probably doesn't have like an actually eidetic memory, but
real quick, just to finish that last thought, I have accidentally discovered some things I never thought I would have, patterns I never would have thought I would have discovered until after. Or it's like I don't even know as I'm copying, like writing the time codes for the sounds, it's not until I organize them together that's when suddenly a pattern flies into my face. I'm like, whoa, I didn't realize that. And that's like, that explains why this was this way.
Fascinating.
I've discovered the patterns. I've discovered the secret pattern.
Some episodes are dominated by like no's, just people saying no all the time. You know. Anyway, sorry, we can move on from this.
I think it's so fantastic. No. Fantastic.
Agreed.
Thanks, Agamus.
Thank you, Agamus.
Thanks, Agamus.
Okay.
Speaking of Agamus, we don't have any Agami, do we?
No emails, no voicemails this week. I mean, we got a lot of, I forgot to mention, of course, where the hell have I heard that before? Mm-hmm. We do have a lot of guesses and emails and some other fun. There's actually some fun audience interaction this week when it comes to that game. So that's
these are our messages.
Emails, no regular messages. For those who would be interested in sending us some sort of question or comment or whatnots, you can write us at feedback@itscottstartrek.com. Or go to itscottstartrek.com/record. You can record a voicemail.
Oh, yeah, that's the coolest.
You want to do that? Or just send us an MP3. I don't know. Well, whatever. So we do have
That's not possible.
We have to go to break soon. But before we go to break. The beginning of the episode is also kind of when we talk about like how this episode is relaxing and boring. I found it interesting where they decided to cut the teaser. It was a very short teaser, and all it was
we've been looking for some stuff, and Harry Kim found something tinkled and winkled, and should we go look at it?
Sure. And then it was like, all right, you know. Then it goes to the opening, and
it certainly looks like a wormhole.
And I get it. I mean, this is, you know, the 90s and all that. It was just funny. Because I was like, what? I'm very disappointed in that. I want to get me to the wormhole. Like, yeah. You should be like, oh my God, it's a wormhole. But maybe they don't realize that it's a hilariously small wormhole. Yeah. But I don't know. I just found that.
Yeah, they're like enlarge. Like, they have to like keep like magnifying.
It just took them so long to figure out what was in the damn wormhole. I just wanted to be like, okay, just find out what's in the wormhole. We don't need to talk about it for so long.
Right.
Well, I was just filling time.
It was a long probe.
Troop ship.
Why is it saying poop ship?
Troop ship.
Oh, got it.
Oh, yeah, troop ship.
Wait, what was that other thing?
It's not a troop ship. Robin is going to round those guys up and take them to prison.
What was it I said earlier? Expertly poo or something?
Expertly too.
Sparkly poo.
Sparkly poo. I don't hear
expertly
that.
Too.
There's sparkly poo.
I hear sparkly too. Too.
Wait. There's sparkly poo.
Expertly too.
And poop ship.
Troop ship.
I hear. Okay, I gotta hear the poop ship, but I don't hear no sparkly poo.
I hear it.
Well, so we've bounced around and discussed the teaser.
And your mom.
So I think we can.
Some would call it a cold open.
Or cold open. Absolutely. I accept that.
Am I interrupting?
100%.
Acceptatutely.
We'll take a break, and when we get back from the break, we will move on
to something else
after the credits, and we'll start talking about other parts of this episode.
Show.
This exciting episode.
Yeah.
Where Tom is all like, they make a real dramatic moment. Tom is all like, if it turns out that this is a wormhole, I think we should name it the Harry Kim wormhole.
Yeah. And Harry,
the camera goes to Harry Kim. He's like, holy shit. Right. Oh my God.
Oh, wow.
Oh, jeepers.
I'm going to go fucking play some clarinet later.
That's how he blows off steam.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. We will be right back.
I was just going to have a cup of soup.
And we're back.
We're ready to transmit. On screen. Proceed. Energize.
Voyager did have
that's
some,
a cool sound.
They had some good sounds.
See, the problem with the setup of the sounds in this episode is I can't sound as clever. Because there's something that sounds awesome when you guys make a thing and I find the perfect sound to fit to the...
Jesse and I are cruising along, having a chat, we say something, you have the perfect response.
Yes.
That's exactly what I was...
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
No, you did say that.
I was in the middle of saying that.
So you had concluded saying
I was not concluded saying it. You seem to be under the impression that when you start talking... You seem to be under the impression that when you start talking, I have concluded, but I have not concluded because I'm mid-sentence. I'm literally mid-sentence.
I thought for sure you had concluded.
No.
Maybe you had moved on to a new
sentence. I had not concluded what I said.
You just interrupted right in there.
I apologize for
that. I think this is just...
It's my intention.
There's a dissonance going on.
No, I appreciate that. I accept guilt. Truly, it was not my intention. I had perceived clearly incorrectly. I mean... Jesse's certainly not backing me up. Clearly incorrectly, I perceived you had concluded incorrectly, unfairly.
No.
I did not mean to interrupt you and reiterate your point.
It almost sounded
when you hadn't concluded.
It almost sounded like you interrupted me to explain the thing that I was in the middle of explaining. It's like you wanted to explain. It's like you thought you knew what I was going to say, so you wanted to be the one to explain my point instead of me.
I was intending to do a sort of playful theatrical reiteration.
Okay.
Partly due to the fact that this...
Okay.
Like you said, you don't have many notes. I don't have any notes for this episode.
Okay.
I couldn't bring myself to write anything down.
Same here. Sorry.
Okay. Right. Normally, in an episode, something will happen. I'll have sounds and one of you guys will say something and I'll have just the perfect sound that just fits right into that. And it's super clever because it's like, wow, that wouldn't have fit in every scenario, but it fit in that one. And it makes me feel awesome, right? Mm. But if you have just a bunch of sounds that are like...
Correct. No doubt.
Okay.
Let's try it, Mr. Kim. Acknowledge.
Exactly.
That fits.
Yeah.
You can put that for everything.
So the point you were making...
You might as well be at work.
The point you were making earlier, the impact of that, it's not just odd that there's this imbalance. The impact of the imbalance is that it makes for a less entertaining podcast. So
any
deficiencies with this podcast are the fault of the episode of Voyager.
Yes.
See? There's nothing clever about that. And that's all I have. That's all I have is a bunch of shit where, hey, Jesse, say something.
I don't think we could do a less entertaining podcast.
Exactly.
See? There's no
Jesse, when you...
There's no giggle tickle there.
Just to clarify, Jesse, when you say...
I was just playing with words.
Yeah, I know. I'm just... But the thing is it was an ambiguous statement. You said, I don't think we could make a less entertaining podcast.
Right.
One way to take that is, we would not be capable of making a non-entertaining podcast because we're so awesome.
Right.
But another way to take it is...
It couldn't be worse.
That this is such a bad episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast that we could not do worse than this.
Right.
I see.
But that's actually not true because, you see, we're taking a...
No, Keith.
A what?
We're taking an episode.
Did you see that? Jesse had to stop because Dan pointed at Jesse.
I thought he...
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to thing my point. I'm trying to thing my point.
It's not the liveliest episode.
Not iterate my point. I'm trying to
emphasize.
Thank you. Emphasize my point by making sure you guys pause after you say stuff so I can play a very generic sound afterwards.
Gotcha. All right. So Jesse, build in some dramatic pauses. They needn't be long. They needn't be pregnant pauses. Mm-hmm. If, as the old saying goes, they can just be good old fashioned, regular old pauses. I think Jesse might be in the middle of a pause right now.
Wait, I'm a kitty cat and I got my pauses.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I was dumb.
No. So it's a
stick to your clips.
Right.
It's a less interesting episode. No.
That's exactly right.
I still weirdly I liked it.
However, we're still having a quite lively podcast.
Yeah.
Acknowledge.
It's not a shit cast.
Okay.
You think.
Now, Dan.
It's not a snooze cast.
Dan, you've convinced you've convinced me with evidence and with rhetoric that
evidence
that this episode is scientifically
yes.
more generic than any other episode we've discussed before.
Right.
Yes.
Fascinating analysis.
Despite the fact that, as we mentioned briefly, it does contain this important pivot point where Janeway is convinced that the Doctor is alive. Prior to this episode, this is episode 7 of the series.
Precisely.
It was not until Kes suggested it and made Janeway feel like really awful. Because like
that is correct.
Janeway was all like, you know, he's just a hologram. And Kes was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, he can like think and shit.
Right. She all like sort of pauses and you can see her like reflecting and she's like, oh shit, fuck.
She's like, I'm racist.
Yeah.
Well,
that's an important thing that happens. Yet, despite that fact, scientifically proven by Dan, this is a mega generic episode.
You're right.
So that being the case, Dan, I have a question for you.
Yes.
That question, and this will work for this little pattern that you've developed here. Where I say something and you click a sound clip. It's going to work perfect for this question because the question is, in this menagerie of genericness, generic clips that you've pulled from this episode, there must be on the spectrum, even if it doesn't rate so highly relative to other episodes' clips, there must be on the spectrum for this episode the most interesting clip. Even if it's not crazy interesting.
Right.
Something must be more interesting than the rest, right? You said it was a smaller, the other groups were smaller than the generic group, but they still exist. So in your opinion, Dan, what do you think is the most interesting clip? And before you play it, after you play what you think is the most interesting clip, I think that you should play some other candidates and let Jesse and I provide some input on that.
Oh, so now I'm expected. I thought this was all building up to me playing more generic clips, but you want me to do the opposite.
Yeah. Why don't you do a little impromptu quiz show for
I'm
us?
Curious.
Well, I
what
thought,
you perceive well, the I, most interesting clip to
I think
be. Unless it's going to ruin some joke of yours. If there's a joke or gag
think,
that comes later,
I think
this
I don't want to ruin your joke or gag.
I think that like this one we could use for future episodes, not necessarily the most clever, but it's very practical.
These are our messages.
That could be used for when we have like emails. Or...
I do. Yeah. And I like that Tuvok says it in an awkward, strange way.
Yeah, these are our messages.
Here's like a little bag
it's
of messages.
Very Star Trek.
I like
got all the crew to write letters home and put in a sack, a
this,
little digital sack.
This is not terribly clever, but I enjoy this one.
To what end?
I kind of like that. That's fun. A little hard to use.
Well, yeah, it's
but not, it's but,
nicely performed.
Yeah.
Kate Mulgrew is a fantastic actor.
And what we were just talking about the Doctor, right?
Yeah.
He's only a hologram.
Not very. There's not a lot of interesting stuff here,
Right. Yeah. That's interesting in context, but not as a sound clip in and of itself.
Yeah, I mean, what like?
This is an astonishing breakthrough.
Sure, that'll work for
certainly.
Something.
Certainly, it's astonishing.
How about this?
Slow down, Taurus, and tell me what you're talking about.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
the rhythm of that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a musical rhythm. Can you play that again?
Slow down, Taurus, and tell me what you're talking about.
Yeah, it could be the Kes clips you played earlier, like the autopsy one. It could be that. I might argue that might be the most interesting.
This is a beat.
I'm afraid I found the reason for the unusual phase variance. I'm afraid I found the reason for the unusual phase variance. I'm afraid I found the reason for the unusual phase variance. I'm afraid I found the reason for the unusual phase variance.
Yeah.
soothing words, Captain.
All right. So I don't know. Yeah. I think the autopsy one. Do you have that autopsy clip?
Autopsy with autopsy.
Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
I enjoyed studying anatomy. It would be interesting to see an autopsy sometime.
Because yeah. I think the autopsy.
So because
one...
he's a hologram, he doesn't have to be treated with respect
Holograms?
Or any consideration at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holograms.
Yeah. So yes, that's interesting.
So right. Well, we were talking about. Is there more?
No, I was just.
Yeah,
just,
because we were going to talk.
I think it's the autopsy.
We were going to talk about that soup business.
Ah!
Oh, soup fuck.
Business. Yes!
So, first of all, when you go into the captain's office, usually they're like, you want some tea?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I was just about to.
Want some tea?
She's like, first of all, there's a few things wrong. First of all, she says, I was about to have some soup. And it's like,
right.
Okay.
A cup of soup.
It's a new Star Trek show. They're trying radical new things.
Yeah. And normally when they're like, would you like something? Normally the person would be like, no, I'm cool.
Right.
But she not only doesn't say that, she's like, I would like something to drink. I'd like spinach juice with a touch of pear.
Yeah, what the fuck? Yeah.
With a touch of pear. So Janeway, and when Janeway gets her quote-unquote soup. It's not fucking soup. It's vegetable bouillon, which I guess you could call soup, but that's like calling a pile of lettuce a salad.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's like, you can call it that.
It's a bowl of rice.
Vegetable bouillon? Isn't that a backbone? Isn't that a broth?
Yeah, it's just broth.
Broth counts as soup.
No, it's like basic stuff. No, I know, but what I just said was, that's like having a pile of lettuce and calling it a salad. You can call it a salad, but like it's weak as shit.
Vegetable broth and spinach juice, like these gals really know how to party.
Infinite diversity and infinite combinations. My perspective is that the analogy, your lettuce analogy, falls short in that plain vegetable broth or beef broth or whatever can be perfectly tasty and satisfying in and of itself.
I know it
whereas
can.
A pile of lettuce is not.
No, see,
because
here's
there's no flavor, no, there's no salt.
That's not what I was saying.
There's no cartilage.
That's not the point he was trying
that's
to
not
make.
The point, yeah, exactly. The point is, like, that, I'm not saying it's not good. I'm saying if I were going to have that, I wouldn't say I'm about to have soup. I would say I'm about to have some broth.
Right.
You know?
Well, just so the audience understands, we now know you and Jesse, if you ever mention soup on the podcast, when the audience imagines it, they will remember.
And look,
they will remember not to include broth among that. But if they're imagining me with soup, broth could be a component in the mix.
If I had a pile of lettuce with some delicious dressing, that might taste very good. And I could
what if you had a pile of lettuce covered in diarrhea? What if?
If I had a pile of lettuce covered in dressing,
turkey gravy.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
No, I'm sorry.
If I had a pile of lettuce and I covered it in dressing, I could say that it tastes very good. I could call it a salad, but I would also simultaneously recognize that it's like really weak calling it a salad.
I get you.
It's like a salad.
With a wedge salad. Wedge salad, that's right. More of a...
I agree with you there. I 100% agree.
A wedge salad is just a way to get blue cheese and bacon into your mouth.
Nothing against a wedge salad, but I agree. It's not a fucking salad.
Okay. And then, just to sort of reiterate my point even more, and I've done...
This will be helpful to me because I have now forgotten what we were talking about.
Yeah.
So I'm delighted.
Soup
and pear juice.
So to reiterate my point even more, if that's the thing. Anyway, and before anyone says anything, I do this as well. But it's not something I do in casual company. When she drinks her soup, she drinks it out of a mug, like a cup.
Yeah.
And I do that with broth sometimes. I'll drink it out of a mug. But
it's natural.
It's like it's something to do. I'm not saying that anything of this is wrong. I'm just saying that all these things put together just makes for a bizarre scene. It's like
I'm with you there.
Yeah,
man.
It's weird. Yeah, it's weird. It's like, come into my office. I'm about to have soup.
Right.
You want soup? No, you want some weird ass fucking drink. Tom Paris. Like, Tom Paris. Why are they bringing up Tom
there's
Paris?
There's not tea. They didn't have a sundae. There's no whiskey.
Wait. And so not only that, she has her soup ends up just being vegetable broth. Oh, and she's drinking it out of a mug. You know, and it's like in and of it. Even though these things by themselves not a big deal, it's just made for a goofy scene.
I'm telling you, it's because it was the first season and they were trying to make some radical choices to differentiate themselves
from other
TMNT.
Correct.
You can't have hot Earl Grey.
Yeah. So, but
Tom Paris thing was the Tom Paris thing supposed to be like foreshadowing that Tom Paris was had the hots for her?
Well, I think at this stage we already know. I think Tom Paris, like, once he looked at her, he was like,
do we know six episodes in?
Yeah, because it was one of the things where because we discussed, I don't know, last summer or something, we discussed that the Voyager episode with the ridiculous name with the lizard babies and Neelix and Tom fighting with each other. Permutation.
Is that on the
Permagamma Laminamas?
That wasn't a first season one, though, was it?
I think it might be, it's a second season. It's weird because I think it was one of the ones that was actually filmed for the first season, but maybe because they saved some for the second season. Anyway, regardless, I do believe that was a second season. But the thing was, is they had naturally developed this rivalry between Tom Paris and Neelix. And the writers realized, they're like, this makes these people look like fucking assholes. Yeah. It makes them both look like pieces of shit. What are we doing? And so they had that episode where they resolved all of that. Right. But here is early on where, yes, I think that. But also, I also thought, I was like, was Tom Paris like pranking Kes? Because Kes is like, do you have a suggestion for a drink? He's like, yeah, why don't you drink some fucking spinach? Oh yeah, put some pear in it.
Yeah, and when
stupid 2-year-old.
And yeah, and when Kes goes,
it's supposed to be healthy.
She goes, spinach juice with a touch of pear, please. Tom Paris introduced me to it. It's very nutritious. And then Janeway laughs and goes,
I'm sure.
She's like,
he's pranking your ass.
Stupid idiot.
That guy's a criminal.
Yeah,
I pulled him out of the most wicked and wretched New Zealand, Starfleet Federation prison camp.
That was a knowing, I'm sure. Was loaded. There was some ammo behind that. So that meant something. I don't know what it meant, but it meant something.
It was something.
Meant something.
Radical.
Radical.
The Starfleet wing.
But yeah, the whole doctor thing. First of all, do we know that this is the first example of a sentient? We haven't established
sentient
that
hologram.
We haven't even established that the doctor is sentient yet. He is retroactively, but have they had holograms to this level of
Moriarty
complexity?
Yeah, Moriarty was sentient. Moriarty. And
right. Okay, that's a good point.
And that was season like 2 of TNG.
But they never had anything like the EMH kind of thing.
EMH
like
was new, however, and because we watched, or I watched Voyager on UPN when it was new each week as it was coming along.
I have no objection.
I do have some recollections of those times and
no doubt
discussions on Usenet and FidoNet on our BBS right. networks. Dan and I both ran BBS.
That's certainly true.
Back in the day.
Correct.
BBS is back in the day.
And the thing was, is we knew going into Voyager that the Doctor was going to be this hologram character, and it was framed as, you know, he's the Spock, he's the Data,
okay,
he's that character,
right,
he's the Odo. So we were meant to understood that we could expect that, like, so, Data, he would go through some process of trying to gain rights.
Okay, yeah, but it seems like the Voyager crew is not nearly as enlightened as the Enterprise D crew, because they were much quicker to accept Data as his own sort of life form.
Well, Data had been around a long time. I think they also accepted Moriarty pretty quick, but Moriarty also like took over their ship was like doing crazy shit.
And it's like that's the top of Starfleet when you get to be on the Enterprise. Yeah, like, it's a fucking flagship.
Yeah. It was just surprising because
Voyager does have a bunch of assholes like this Baxter guy.
Well, that was what I was just about to say, though, because it was a little shocking because Baxter was being such a dick to the Doctor. But then when Kes talks to Janeway, and she's like, because Kes is like, Kes goes like, someone's being mistreated, and Janeway looks all super concerned and empathetic. She's like, oh, Kes, are they not treating you well? And she's like, no, I don't understand why people treat the Doctor the way they do. And she's like, the Doctor.
Yeah.
The Doctor.
Exactly.
The Doctor. And then she's like, I don't like how people treat him. And then she's like, how do people treat him? She's in this way that's like really patronizing. Yep. So even
partly because she's got in the back of her mind, she's like, I've been dealing with everyone complaining about this asshole.
People keep deactivating.
But like, and so Janeway is like, at first you think Baxter's just a dick, but the way Janeway's responding, it's more of an epidemic, more of like a culture thing on the ship.
100%.
Because she's being kind of a dick too.
Absolutely. Which I like. I like that she wasn't like, quote unquote, perfect. She didn't immediately be like, oh, of course.
Right.
She had to think about it. She had to have it argued to her, similar to Picard and Dan. I know this is awkward. I'm playing the part of Dan tonight. But it's similar to that episode. of Star Trek TNG called I, Borg.
Oh.
Where Picard...
I haven't done
Picard has to be... Picard has to be convinced...
It's ancient. It's got Star Trek.
Right. And not only does Picard have to be convinced of Hugh's sort of individuality and sentience, I think an analog to sentience, you know, as a person with rights who shouldn't be as, used as a tool for genocide. But Geordi and Data also have to be first convinced, and they become convinced through interactions with this with Hugh. And here is something we see a similar thing, although it plays out over a little bit of a longer period of time. And,
very impressive.
And I think the other context here is that even the Doctor himself considers himself a tool, right? Like that's Janeway's perspective. Is like, oh, this was a tool that was designed for us, and now the tool's being used. She didn't factor in that the tool's being used in a way that it wasn't intended to be used.
He seemed a little bitter when he was saying like they treat me as if I'm a hypo spray. He seemed a little bitter. But what was interesting is when she was telling him is like you're becoming more of like a full fledged crew member, and instead of like taking that as a compliment, he was like, "What do you want to reprogram me or something?" Yeah. Like he immediately assumed that they wanted to fuck with him somehow, even though she was like saying all the things you say to somebody to like say like you're part of the family now. He took it as, oh, they must want, she's saying something different and weird. She's paying attention to me. She must want to fuck with my shit somehow.
Well, and we're of course bouncing around here, and so we're not watching these episodes in order from the beginning of this season/series. But
he's alive.
But I do recall that with the Doctor, the other thing at factor,
he's only a hologram.
The other factor at play here is that I think we're meant to understand that under normal circumstances with this EMH, we wouldn't necessarily expect them all to become sentient. They're not necessarily sentient in the beginning, but because the Doctor is just on basically all the time and doing all this
stuff. It's the staying on the whole time.
And learning in the process that he kind of like Moriarty, he kind of like, because of the task he needs to perform, his consciousness emerges.
Could you credit the Voyager and in turn specifically Kes for the ultimate creation of the planet Kask?
Well, because not necessarily, because I think Kask, planet we learn about, planet of photonics that we learn about in Starfleet Academy, I don't know that that's connected in any way to any holograms we know. I think it's some holograms that were created, and so they're like a hologram race of people, but not they're
holograms.
We don't necessarily know them or have any connection to them.
But it's just like they. It seems. I mean, things can happen independent of one another, but it just seems like kind
shit
of
shit happens.
It just seems weird that there's no sort of origin point of the whole thing.
I think I would argue that we've seen Moriarty become conscious. We've seen the Doctor become conscious. In this fictional universe, it seems like maybe happens with holograms.
Maybe the Doctor was created based upon the research done about what happened to Moriarty.
Oh, could be. Yeah.
Headcanon.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get it. You don't get it. I don't get it.
I know the term
You're
headcanon.
A greedy
Where
son of
would
a
I stay?
You're a greedy son of a bitch.
I'm familiar with the term headcanon? I use the term headcanon myself. But every time somebody says
headcanon, about blowing something like he's got a fucking hand cannon like from Pulp Fiction.
No. I imagine
a goddamn hand cannon.
He got a goddamn hand cannon.
I imagine a person, but instead of a face, they have like
a cannon face.
But they still have like a mouth and a jaw, but just like instead of eyes and a nose, there's just like a cannon sticking out. Not a full. It's like 10
muzzle,
inches.
A muzzle nozzle.
10 inches out of their head. They just have like a head cannon.
Muzzle nozzle. Yeah.
Disturbing.
Wow. Yeah. I'm a creative little boy.
You go creative.
I was a creative little boy when I was growing up.
When Kes goes,
he's alive.
Janeway says, no, he's not. Like she like looks at her like, you stupid asshole. No. Yeah. Because he was programmed that way.
She does come around pretty quickly, though. So,
but like, it's interesting though. There is an argument to be made. He was programmed that way, but you could say that about Data. You could say that about,
of course,
say that about people.
Well, there's a whole episode of TNG about that.
But when she came around was interesting because what made her come around was Kes said, okay, well, like, let's pretend he's not sentient. Does that mean we should treat him like shit?
Yeah.
And like, because the response is like, there's no reason not to treat him like shit, but at the same time, there really is no reason to treat him like shit.
So why
treat something poorly, even if you don't think it has sentience, if there's no reason to?
This has been discussed sort of philosophically with regard to interacting with AI agents and or animals, for example. And they talk about how, you don't necessarily have to treat an AI agent well, but it kind of says something about you, maybe. Yeah. If you don't, on the other hand, a counter argument is similar, like in video games. You might like to blast your friends or your spouse or something to pieces, but that's just cathartic and fun, and it's not intended to connect to any real thing.
One time I was playing Red Dead Redemption 2, and I accidentally ran over this woman with my horse and killed her, and I reset the game and restarted.
But Jesus Christ, really?
Yeah, because I felt so bad. I felt bad that I killed this random woman with my horse.
Yeah.
You just trampled her?
Yeah, I just ran right.
Did you have a big old horse?
I didn't mean to. It was just one of those things where it's like, I was just running along.
Ran into the street.
You had to go.
Stupid NPC just like walks across the dirt road as I'm riding along, and I trample the shit out of her.
Jesus.
Like, oh, man.
Did your horse stop and just start like stomping on her?
Did you have to be like, whoa.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Horse
What does a hologram do while they're deactivated? Because he says he's boring, not being turned off.
He says he's asleep.
Or maybe he just doesn't have any consciousness.
Maybe he doesn't have any, because as he put it,
yeah,
it's extremely irritating.
Now, he has already, since then, though, had two side quests that have lasted at least like 20 years. One of them was like a whole lifetime. Mm-hmm. The other was like 20 years. Like, so he's
older than he looks.
He says, well, what I'm saying is like, he's complaining about being bored for a couple hours, but he'll very casually go off and like, be like, okay, I'm just going to go live in this life for 50 years and I'll be back to you with you tomorrow.
But he's not bored in those cases. He's hanging out with people. Mm. One of those cases, he's like banging the lady and making some fake babies.
I just think like a couple hours for a hologram.
Well, I mean, you don't know. You have to trust holograms? What he's saying, right? It's him saying.
Holograms?
Why are you denying what he's saying?
Because his feelings are wrong.
A hologram, he's not real.
Because his feelings are wrong.
That's racist.
You're like, buck up, walk it off.
Don't you hate that though, when somebody like expresses their feelings to you and they're clearly wrong about their feelings?
How they feel. Well, I do, yeah. you know, you're right, Dan. I do hate that. It was frustrating.
It's like, that's wrong. Yeah. What I'm doing is making you sad. That's just incorrect.
Yeah. Sometimes people just got to be sad.
Yeah.
That's the way life works.
Well, and it's, you know, they're not as sad as they say they are.
Well, anyway, it is funny that
I am just kidding.
That this doctor plot is very important.
Doctor plot. I'm Dr. Plot. What do you want to do today, Dr. Plot? I don't know. I'm Dr. Plot.
Yeah, see, Jesse, you're right. We couldn't make a. What would you say? We couldn't make a least. I can't even remember what you said.
Sabotage.
It rings true though. Whatever it was. Yeah.
Doctor plot.
The doctor plot is important to the arc of the character.
That's my doctor plot.
Who's Doctor Plot?
Who's Doctor Plot?
But it takes place as a side story in this otherwise pretty generic and boring episode that is nevertheless entertaining and interesting.
Sort of
relaxing. Like I said earlier, it was a relaxing episode.
It's some dudes on a spaceship.
We haven't even gotten to talk about the Romulan fella.
We had a whole scene where Harry like harasses B'Elanna into like admitting that she has no family or friends. Yeah. That was an entire scene.
Yeah, that was rough.
Like, it was a little awkward.
He wouldn't let up. He wouldn't let up because she's like,
you got nobody?
Yeah, he goes, how about you? Any family? And she's like,
I don't know, these people love me.
She goes, well, my dad left when I was five. And he's like, and your mom? And she's like, well, I don't get along with my mom. I think she's on the Klingon homeworld, which is Konos, which I don't know why she doesn't say Konos, but she says homeworld, whatever.
She's some kind of galactic renegade.
Did they not
renegade,
call it Kronos back then?
Yeah, they call it Kronos.
Why does he say
it's common to? It seems like it's common to say Klingon homeworld.
Anyway,
say
that So he goes, she goes. I think she's on the Klingon homeworld, and then instead of like,
I know it's because it was on UPN, and they were like, you know what. The people on UPN watching UPN, they might not know about what Kronos or Konos is.
So
we'll say the Klingon.
So he says, ask about her mom, and she's like, we don't get along. She's on the, I think she's on the Klingon homeworld. And instead of leaving it that, he's like, you think? And then like, all of her answers up to this point have been like very quick and to the point. So it's obvious she doesn't really want to talk about her family.
Very clear.
Otherwise, she would have expounded on it. But
she does not hide her feelings.
But he keeps asking her. She tries to change the subject by talking about the signal generators and long range sensors. And then like
she tries to use technobabble to get out of an awkward conversation.
Right. And then he goes. And then he goes after he asks about her dad and his mom. And he's like, "You think she's on the plane?" Then he goes, isn't there anybody back home who will be worried about you? It's like, no, nobody's fucking worried about me.
He's and she, like, then she points out, which, by the way, I mean, not that he would necessarily 100% know this, but she does. She's like, yeah, I'm Maquis. Like, all my buddies are here. Like, yeah, we right. were all hanging out. Like, we all came here together. Well, you remember that? It was a whole the plot of Caretaker.
Well, she said it because he basically forced it out of her. Like, a conversation that should have ended about three responses prior, after he's basically was like, you mean nobody gives a shit about you anywhere?
She should have gone upside his head.
She's finally just like, yeah, my friends are here, and I don't know. Nobody loves me. Yeah. Fine. Great. Are you happy? Did you really need to know all that? You know, but yeah, actually, B'Elanna's probably got the best deal of all of them. She probably is just fine living on the Voyager doing the thing. So
maybe she's sabotaging them.
I don't think they let her on the bridge.
Sabotage.
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 We got to take a break. And after we conclude the break, we will come back and conclude our discussion of this episode. Star Trek Voyager. Be right back.
I was just going to have a cup of soup. Let's give it some time. I think we can afford a detour. That shouldn't take long.
I didn't mean to play the soup.
Soup has stuff in it, man.
I played the soup one before, and I played it by accident.
I think it's relevant still.
We're gonna get like fucking 100 emails. And we're back.
Go ahead, Taurus. Let's see what you have, Mr. Kim.
Now, there was something. There was a theme in this episode that, strangely, I didn't notice until. The second watching. I mean, I noticed that it was...
The second watching.
I noticed...
I just like that term. I'm going to use that term now.
That could be the title of your book.
It sounds like a ritual, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, are you guys coming over this weekend for the second watching?
Okay, yeah.
Right, it's got Jesus ominous. In there or something. Mm-hmm.
Okay, second viewing, whatever you want to call it.
Jesus being raised from the dead is equivalent to like a rerun?
So I noticed
this guy before.
I noticed through the first viewing that they referenced this, but I didn't realize to what degree until I saw it the second time. Mm. Now pay attention.
Okay.
Phase variance. Phase variance.
Phase variance.
Phase variance. Phase variance.
Phase variance.
Phase variance.
Phase variance.
Phase variance.
Phase variance.
Phase variance.
Phase variance.
Phase variance.
Phase variance.
Phase variance.
Phase variance.
They said phase variance a lot in this
episode.
Are
you serious?
They didn't say that. They said it half that many times because I played each one twice. Wow. But they said phase variance 8 times. They referenced the phase variance 8 times. Now, do you want to know in more context? You can hear the story of the phase variance.
And context is for kings.
Yes. I'm going to play the story of the phase variance now. It's short. Don't worry. It's not long.
Don't
worry about it.
This is like a short film that you're going to submit for the Oscars?
Yes.
The story of the phase variance.
Okay, here we go.
It all starts one summer day.
The second viewing.
Okay. Here we go.
There's a strange phase variance in the radiation stream. But that phase variance in the radiation stream gave us
she's
a
still having
problems.
Trouble with that phase
shit,
variance.
Shit. Okay. God damn it.
All your right. streams all got crossed.
Take two. Okay. We're going to play the phase.
Ghostbusters.
We're going to play the story of the phase variance.
1984. Ghostbusters. I believe it's 1984.
We're going to play the story of the phase.
It's as old as my wife.
Oh, God. We're going to play the story of the phase variance.
There's a strange phase variance in the radiation stream. But that phase variance in the radiation stream gave us a few problems.
She's still having trouble with that phase variance.
What's the problem?
It's the phase variance in the radiation stream. There was a strange phase variance in the radiation stream.
I'm afraid I found the reason for the unusual phase variance. The unusual phase variance we detected was actually an indication of a temporal shift.
Now you think phase variance is over, but it's got one last strike.
Phase variance is out of sync again.
It's out of sync again.
No shit.
You thought the story was over. You thought the phase variance, they figured it all out. But it ended on it coming out of sync again.
Now, I'd like to emphasize an observation that I suspect many people in the audience have made. I certainly made it just now, which is Dan did a lot of work to put together this summary using sound clips, a summary of the phase variance story.
It didn't take a lot of work. I just had to record different things.
Well, my point is that you put in the effort, you grabbed these sounds.
No more.
You intellectually understood. Your brain was able to put these
but
together.
I just want to be clear that no more than effort I put into putting together.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
But this gets to my observation, which is that Dan had the option. He may not have considered it, and this may go to why this is the case. Dan is a musician. Dan is an artist.
Totally.
He's a sound artist. Dan could have taken those clips and put them together into a single file and just played it.
Yeah.
But no. What you may not realize, I'm sure you might have heard this, but I watched it. He played each of those clips with his fingers, like playing a piano. Bloop, 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 bloop. And he didn't have to do that, but he did that. Now, he did mess it up initially.
I did. Which is fucked up because when I practiced beforehand, I didn't fuck it up once, but of course.
And that was he just answered the question. The next question I had was just whether or not he practiced, and he just said, yes, he practiced. He was at home practicing.
See, here's the thing. It's because you want to be flexible, because I want to be able to play each one. What if I just wanted to play this one?
There was a strange phase variance in the radiation stream.
You could still have the individual clips and a separate clip. I know. The full clip.
I know. But what
I'm applauding you, Dan. I think it's great that you did it ad hoc.
I'm just explaining my thought process.
Okay. Yeah.
This is not an ego thing. I don't give a shit about what anyone has to say about my dick. It was
because you're a musician.
About my fucking
heart.
My fucking dick. I don't give a shit.
I don't recall mentioning your penis.
Nobody said anything about your dick.
I don't give a shit out my dick, all right? I don't give one piece of shit out my dick.
All right.
I don't give one piece of shit out my dick.
How does that happen?
This is Third Break Dan. Third Break Dan is always,
he's loose.
He's loose. He's blue.
You know how much I care?
That's why we put that big old E on the podcast.
You know how much I care? I don't give one piece of shit out my dick.
And that's going to be our next t-shirt. Another in-demand It's Got Started t-shirt to follow the one where Jesse is saying, I don't have a prolapsed anus.
I told you guys that nobody was going to want those shirts.
I mean, I knew nobody was going to want those shirts, and that's the joke. It was funny to order a bunch of shirts that have a picture of Jesse with a little cartoon bubble saying, I don't have a prolapsed anus. This is one of the few times Jesse is early on in the podcast, one of the few times Jesse ever gets mad. Like he's actually aggravated. He's normally all jolly, but like, I forget, Dan or I, somebody made some joke about Jesse having a prolapsed anus, and Jesse was like, I don't have a prolapsed anus. Anyway, it's a great t-shirt. It's a collector's item.
People would rather have the t-shirt of you doing Klingon.
Dan speaking Klingon. Yeah, that's a good
one. I know you're disappointed.
Tulampu, Umanpu, Andorian Pu.
So what I was saying is that, yes, I could have put them all together, and I have done that in the past, but one thing that happens is sound bloat. I have to cut myself... I have to cut myself off at a certain point when I'm putting these sounds together, because if I don't force myself to stop, I will end up having way too many sounds.
Just the entire episode clipped up.
If I don't, draw, hard lines for myself, I will end up, having, unwieldy amount of, sounds to deal with. And when you get too many sounds, it's like worse because I don't know where to find anything.
It's like in Amadeus when the emperor says there's too many notes.
Well, not quite.
Too many notes.
So
it's worse than that.
Now, in this instance, there is an argument to be made that it would have been okay to do it for this instance, considering it was such a long string of sounds. I think there's an argument to be made that I should have put it together, but it is also kind of fun to it's kind of fun to play the screen like an instrument.
No, totally.
You're a sound clip maestro.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm always impressed with both of you fellas. Both Jesse and Dan are supreme proper musicians.
All right, thank you.
I see.
I love music.
Supreme and proper.
You know, I can sing a tune here or there, but only if it's a show.
We can jam on it.
Only if it's a show tune.
Maybe it will work itself loose.
All right.
Anyways.
Yes?
To sum up the phase variance thing.
Okay.
That was they kept talking about this phase variance the whole time. And they I should have caught on to it earlier that's what they were building on the whole time because they kept talking about the phase variance throughout the episode.
They should have figured that earlier.
Every 13 or 14 minutes they were talking about the phase variance, and I can't believe I didn't put it together because that turned out to be the thing that fucked everything up.
It's the monkey paws thing.
It's the
punchline to the hilarious joke.
It's like cause
that they have their hopes raised and then dashed asunder like a ship crashing on a reef.
Because I thought that Telek was gonna betray them somehow. But no, they were setting it up for
you're racist against Romulans.
Sneaky Romulan.
No, because because the Romulan, look, if there's something that this episode taught us, it's that even if you aren't the best of friends, even if you're enemies, there's when somebody's has their family shit, personal family shit, you can set aside differences to help out your enemy.
Right.
You can help out your enemy if it has no actual tactical risk. And in fact, if you're helping them connect with their personal life and family.
It's a human thing to do.
It's like agreeing to have a ceasefire on a holiday or something. Right. It's like we're all people.
Romulans are down with it.
Even if we don't like each other, I understand you're lost in space. I'll do this for your family. Mm-hmm. And in fact, he was it was weird because he was like saying, like, they were trying to say, like, can you send back this message mm-hmm. back home? And he was like, I can't promise that the Romulan Empire is going to want to do this.
Sure, yeah.
So he couldn't make that promise. But you notice, though, there was an inconsistency, because later on, this is why I thought he was going to fuck him over, because he was like, hey, let me beam to your ship to mm-hmm. test it out. And she's like, well, can't we just beam to yours? He's like, I can't have you beam to my ship, but I promise if it works, I'll call a troop ship over and I'll have you beam to that.
Yeah.
So earlier he couldn't promise that he could send them a message home, but he could promise that a troop ship would be willing to take them aboard. You see what I'm saying? Like, it seems like sending a message home would be less dangerous than transporting a whole crew onto their troop ship.
Right.
Yet he was able to guarantee that they would accept, that he was able to guarantee that the Romulans would allow the Voyager crew to beam over on their troop ship, but he couldn't guarantee that they would let them send a message.
I don't trust a Romulan troop ship. That's like that's a Romulan round them up and take them to prison ship.
That's also why I think that's potentially, whether it's a headcanon or a subtle subtext of the episode, an answer to Dan's query is that the Romulans may in fact be more willing to be like, hey, if we can get like a bunch of Federation prisoners,
that's true.
They'd be like, at least we're in the, you know,
well, it's lucky. Alpha Quadrant. It's lucky they came upon not only a scientist, but a scientist who also was like missing his family.
Well, and this is, but this is what I really enjoyed. And I thought was the, look, the technobabble I'm aggravated by. I don't think that's good writing, but I thought it was very subtle and good writing, making this character, this Romulan character, a scientist, because it's similar to like in Enterprise, Deep Space Nine, we see some like non-warrior Klingons, you see some like lawyer Klingons or scientist Klingons. Here we see we see the Romulan scientist who clearly is wrestling between, he's a scientist, so you get the impression he believes Janeway like immediately from the beginning because he's a scientist, but then he's also a Romulan, so he has to do all the Romulan stuff, being like, I'm gonna assume
he's a sneaky, secretive bastard.
We're shady people, and so like the deal with the Romulans is they're so shady and up to sneaky stuff that they always assume that everybody else is up to sneaky stuff.
What
like,
are you doing?
That's
here?
The whole deal with Romulans. What are you doing? And that's one way you can manipulate them. But it's also the problem here is that he's just like, I don't know, you're probably doing some like fucked up trick. Because we would do a fucked up trick like this. I don't know what the purpose is, but it's a fucked up trick. He's a Romulan. But you seem, it doesn't seem like his heart is in it, right? But, because he's a scientist.
But and at the end it confirms it, because he's like, was even saying, willing to be like, in 30 years I will send those messages. Yeah. And I believed him.
Yes.
I believe 100%. But in retrospect, I feel silly for not recognizing that the phase variance was going to be the foil, because they kept bringing up this mysterious like phase variance. There's a phase variance. What's this phase variance? Phase variance.
Problem
phase
was
variance.
I remembered this. I even before, like when we selected this episode, when the algorithm them select this episode, I remember that was the gimmick of this episode. The gag at the end was that it was like a big huge time.
It's just they laid out the breadcrumbs for you on that one. You know, there's just like, here is where we're going. This phase variance is going to be the problem, because we don't explain what it is.
I think that's part of the thing that makes it a little aggravating in this episode, is that the concept is really kind of interesting. It's a wormhole so that you can communicate with an enemy. Oh no, it's an enemy. That's a problem. That's a barrier to overcome.
A narrow Hank Hill.
Oh, and then there's
sort of
the extra sci-fi barrier of like time travel. That's a clever idea. I enjoyed this episode. I liked it, but yes, it's also very boring.
Yeah.
Okay. Where the hell have I heard that before? Let's do
Chief
that.
O'Brien.
At long
Let's
last.
Do that. And then we'll have a concluding comments about this episode. Mm-hmm. So
I did have Overeager Janeway that I could zip through.
Yes, we definitely want to do the Overeager Janeway. I don't want to miss out on that. Where the hell have I heard that before? That is our weekly game where we play a sound clip.
Priority.
Yes, we play a sound clip from somewhere in the Star Trek universe, and you, the audience, get to write in and guess what you think the sound clip is from, which character says it, which show or movie, what have you.
Let's assume he's going to be successful.
So, I will play the clip from last week, and then we'll go through the guesses. Here's the clip.
But I mean, were any Orions even doing science stuff back then?
They weren't all pirates, you know. Mm. Somebody had to make the starships.
All right.
Doing?
I see.
This
is top priority.
So, Dan, Jesse.
Maybe it will work itself loose.
I know sometimes you end up looking this up, cheating.
I did that once.
Do either of you have thoughts on where this sound clip is from?
I make no promises.
It's Boimler and Tendi.
definitely Boimler and Tendi.
It's Lower Decks.
It's I don't remember
the exact episode.
I never remember episode names is the problem, but I know it's like about
is that when they do some Orion stuff and
yeah,
like,
I mean it
like,
is about Orion.
She goes
stuff.
Back to she visits her relatives or whatever.
I just can't remember which some Orion kind
of,
episode
yeah,
it is.
Because well, there's a few of them.
I won't leave you on tenterhooks because you both
tenterhooks.
You both have fallen for my trap.
It seemed we were so
my
close.
My wicked trap, because yes.
Wicked game.
Yes, there are a few occasions in Lower Decks where they deal with Tendi's heritage, particularly prejudice.
Those aren't bad odds.
Prejudice against Orions, assuming they're all pirates, when in right. fact there are all sorts of Orions.
They're pheromones. Moans.
So let's go.
It seemed we were so close.
Let's go through some of the guesses. First... we have a guest that was sent to us on Mastodon, a guest from Jonah H., who simply wrote, SNW! Exclamation point.
Chief O'Brien?
SNW, yes.
Oh, all right. Is it SNW? Is it not Lower Decks?
SNW!
So you've been playing a lot of tricks lately.
I've been playing tricks.
Right, okay.
Well, I'm,
maybe it's that tricky one.
You know, Midsummer Night's Dream, I'm Puck.
Sabotage.
Sabotage. So thank you.
It's just a crazy idea.
Thank you, Jonah H.
You're a greedy son of a bitch.
A person of very few words, indeed very few letters, just SNW, exclamation point. We got a Blue Sky direct message from Kara, and Kara says, WTHHIHTB this week is Boimler and Tendi in SNW.
Very impressive.
Which is short for Strange New Worlds. The episode, Those Old Scientists, crossover episode. One of the best feel-good episodes to watch if you want to watch one where nobody dies. Yes.
Not bad.
That's correct, Kara. And we did, of course, have a few other correct guesses.
Right on.
Amy, again, a stalwart of this particular game. Amy says, this week's WHHIHTB is from Strange New Worlds Season 2, Episode 7, Those Old Scientists. Beginning at 2:54, Boimler and Tendi are talking about the origins of the portal they are about to
portal. He says it's all funny.
Investigate.
Not bad.
And Isaac sent us a message and says, hello, Jesse-atric, Danny-atric, and Jerry-patric.
Not bad.
So you're making it work, Dan.
Not too bad, dude.
You're making it work.
Then let's do it.
All right. Thanks for inviting us to write in for the hit game show. What? I've heard that before.
I have no objection.
W-H-I-T-B. I believe this one is the SNW/LD.
Lower Decks
crossover episode, Those Old Scientists. How awesome is that episode? And then in response to some comments I believe we made last week, Isaac, who is from Tasmania, says, we have wallabies in Tasmania. I said I don't think they have kangaroos. So he said, we have wallabies in Tasmania. Kangaroos tend to be on the Big Island a bit more. Tassie devils are really scary. Like Dan, when you've interrupted him one too many times.
Oh, shit.
For real.
Love you. Isaac.
He's always loving us.
He does. Well, we love Isaac.
We should go visit.
I'm quite
That'd be a
serious.
Trip.
I mean, I know it's fun to joke.
You're
but,
damn right.
Tasmania looks like it's a neat place.
I want to go to Hobart. I want to go check out the... Yeah. I mean, it'd be awesome to check out Australia, of course, too.
Yeah, but like...
You know, Isaac, we're going to show up at your fucking house one of these days. Just FYI. We'll try to...
That's exactly right.
We'll try to contact you ahead of time.
No doubt.
Because we don't know exactly where you live. But I figure Hobart's, you know, it's not too big, right?
Agreed.
Just sort of wander around yelling, Isaac!
It's a town.
Isaac!
I have no objection.
All right. And then the last guess was sent in by Emmanuel. Emmanuel says, ahoy, Stinky, Pinky, and Winky.
That is correct.
I am enjoying this new... This new organic game that's emerged.
That is correct.
The answer is the sound comes from some kind of Star Trek episode or something. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Precisely.
We're all going to die. But more specifically, it's from that episode of Star Trek where the thing happens with the guy in the shirt, you know? Gary, I think either that or Those Old Scientists from SNW, directed by Two Tanks Franks. That's right. Jonathan Franks directed it. It is a great episode, by the way. So thank you, Emmanuel. That is a correct guess. Now, Emmanuel goes on. I like this. Emmanuel goes on to say, but here for you, is a challenge. It's time for Where Have I Heard This Bull Hockey Before? Your opportunity to duties begins here. Where is the sound clip from? Play if you have the cojones. Can you see that I'm serious? I am disrespectful to dirt.
That's from The Simpsons.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's a reference, just to be clear. And now he says, this is your clue to play the sound. So he sent me a sound clip for
putting us on the spot
for
here.
Us to identify. So I'll play a manual sound clip now.
Now, Blanche is talking about
a Nestle's Crunch.
One over.
An enema bag?
To the right.
Didn't you grip?
Condoms, Rose! Condoms! Condoms! Condoms!
What?
Yep. So now we have to guess.
Well, I mean, that's...
We have to. We know where that's from. That's
the Golden
Girls. Well, what episode, though?
It's Golden Girls. I'd have to look it up, but
I don't know what it,
I've seen that episode.
I know I've seen that one, yeah.
It's aged women talking about condoms and penises.
It's banging left and right, and it's great.
That could have been a few episodes.
It was all, my mom always thought it was funny that my very conservative grandmother from Ohio, who was always a very prim and proper, loved fucking Golden Girls. My mom was just she just likes to sit down and watch these old ladies just talking about banging old wrinkly dudes.
We're dangerous.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, Emmanuel. So yes, that's Golden Girls. We'll figure it out, or the audience can write in their guesses if they know this particular episode. But definitely Golden Girls, classic.
Thanks, Agamus.
We love it. I love Golden Girls. I loved Empty Nest. I loved all that business.
Empty Nest.
Emmanuel says, P.S. Amy was right. Spock was totally flirting with Una, referring to last week's sound, which was from the Short Treks Q&A.
That's exactly right.
Spock was totally flirting with Una. Does she like eggplant? Regarding the does she like eggplant? Or maybe Una was flirting with Spock. It's almost
exactly
6 a.m.
Right.
And I'm very tired. Sorry if this electronic letter makes no sense. P.P.S. Amy's favorite character, Shran, could be described as cool but rude.
That's right.
Yeah.
Except I'd say it's more cool but crude.
Yeah, but you'd be wrong.
I think what's happening is people are saying crude, but Patrick is editing it.
No, I don't
I'm
think
not
that's true.
No.
I think
Patrick's editing
it.
I think that's
because everybody knows it's
news.
Crude.
It's not my style. No, it's cool but rude.
It's cool but crude. You know,
cool but rude.
Look, I know there's a split in the TMNT verse about whether it's cool but crude or cool but rude.
That is, there ain't no split.
But that split has to do with, like,
it's
you gotta visit an audiologist.
It's just convenient that it's you're the one checking all these.
Get those ears.
It's just convenient that you're the one checking.
So, maybe there's some earwax.
Now, let me play the clip for next week and where the hell have I heard that before? Clip for next week and for the first time, I've asked folks. I said, hey, I like picking these things, but if you have a suggestion, please send in your suggestion. Just send in a time code. Give me the details. And you know, it should be, you know, not too long a clip, but send in the suggestion. We actually got two suggestions this week. We got a suggestion from Kara and a suggestion from Amy.
This is top priority.
Kara's came in a little bit before Amy, so I'll play
Kara. Is it called, like, Where the Hell Should You Have Heard This?
Yeah. It's very, whatever it is, it's very similar. I'm going to play the clip that Kara selected for us this week, and we'll play Amy's next week. But you send in your clips. We definitely would like you to join in the fun.
Send us your clips.
It is fun to pick these things. So here is the clips.
Agreed.
For Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before? Suggested by Kara.
Outside can be challenging.
Dangerous.
She thinks it's a very funny clip. I agree. I will play it one more time, and then you can send in your guesses to feedback@discotstartrek.com or direct message us on social media. Here's the clip.
Outside can be challenging.
Dangerous.
All right.
I'm on it.
So, back to the very important discussion of this episode. Ooh, Jesse's doing one of his sneezing things. Three sneezes. Four
yes,
sneezes.
Sir.
All right.
Precisely.
Sneezes and could be it. All right.
Of course.
Jesse has paused the sneezing for the moment. Okay. So, Eye of the Needle. What else do we have to discuss about this episode?
Overeager Janeway?
Yes, the overeager Janeway business, definitely. We want to look at this list of overeager Janeway.
Okay, so Tuvok says, I fear...
Yeah? Oh. Yeah, okay.
Slow down, Taurus. Yeah. Tell me what you're talking about.
We're leaving all that in. That's cinema verite, podcast verite. It's springtime here in the mid-Atlantic in the Washington, D.C. area.
Trees,
the cherry blossoms have bloomed and fallen. Their petals have fallen.
So
Jesse is sneezing up a storm.
Tuvok says...
Dan and I are heavily medicated.
So Harry's all, you know, excited to do the thing at the beginning. And Tuvok says to Janeway, he says, I fear Mr. Kim's exuberance may turn into an equally intense disappointment if his efforts prove in vain. And Janeway
says, dickhead.
I know. Janeway says, you may be right, but I'd rather assume that he's going to be successful. That is,
you may be right, but I'd rather assume that he's going to be successful.
I think that's a terrible idea. Look into it for sure, but don't assume success. Why is she assuming success?
Because she's Starfleet, baby.
Can you play the clip again? I just want to clarify something in my head about the how she actually structured the sentence.
Okay, well, I'm going to lead up with Tuvok. Okay. I fear Mr. Kim's exuberance may turn into an equally intense disappointment if his efforts prove in vain.
Mm-hmm. You may be right, but I'd rather assume that he's going to be successful.
I can accept, because I get what you're saying, because she says rather... to me, that's the nuance there is that it's couched. She's saying, like, you're right, but I'd rather think he's going to be successful. So I'm going to kind of, like, you know, bias myself in that way. But she's not saying, like, I am going to assume he's going to be successful. She's saying, I'd rather assume.
You never assume anything. Like, there's no reason
to assume. She's not saying she's assuming. She's saying she would rather
assume. That's just another way of saying you're assuming success.
I think maybe you're right in practice, but I think she's doing the right thing in terms of what she's saying.
I think you are being extremely pedantic here.
I think the English language.
Oh, don't pull this shit. This is how you throw an argument aside. You say things
I'm
like
not throwing aside.
The human language is very complicated and they mean many
the human
things.
Language.
And the memory and the human brain remembers what it wants to remember. And maybe you didn't hear my point the way I thought I presented it to you, because communication is so strange.
No,
just let's analyze what they said. And they fucking said I'd rather assume he's gonna be successful. You don't assume shit because you're setting yourself up for disappointment. I'm not saying assume you're going to be wrong. I'm just saying, run the tests. Don't assume success. That's a dollar, not a dish.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. First of all, run the test. What did you say?
Run the test. Don't assume success.
I like this phrase you've just coined there.
Absolutely.
I also
very impressive.
I also don't necessarily disagree with your argument. I think you have a 100% valid argument. I'm just saying, to me, I would give her the benefit of the doubt, and maybe this is my own bias. I give her the benefit of the doubt that she's adding rather. It's a modifier that undercuts it. It's not a certainty. It's a hope. It's a wish.
How can I assure you of my truthfulness?
Okay. All right.
You are obviously lying.
So this is further reinforced.
So that was the first one. That was first the first exuberant. One. Janeway business.
Yes. Now, this is further reinforced by the next one, though, when Telek says, he's on the view screen, he says, I will contact you again. The transmission ends. And then Janeway says, Commander, let's assume he's going to be successful. Tell the crew to prepare personal messages and have them ready within the hour. And Chakotay says, with pleasure, Captain. She keeps assuming success. Mm-hmm. And I have a sound clip for that, too. And I played
it's
it actually.
Power of positive thinking.
And I have the power of love. So I have both sound clips. I played this earlier.
I'm
so
afraid you're just too darn loud.
I played it this earlier, but
let's assume he's going to be successful.
And then before she said,
"You may be right, but I'd rather assume that he's going to be successful." Let's assume he's going to be successful.
She even said the same goddamn thing.
Yeah.
I know you're going to hate me, Dan. Again, here the let's assume is given the myriad of options we have. Let's make our we have to do things. Let's do things. This is a normal management thing. We don't know 100% what the deal is. We'll make the decisions based on this particular assumption. It may not be correct, but in this case, she's 100% correct that they should assume it, because there's no harm in if it's wrong. If it's wrong, the letters don't get sent. No big deal.
She's straight up saying, let's assume this is going to be right.
Exactly. Now, I'm going to argue even more strenuously.
Let's skip and whistle and pretend that everything's going to be
it's
wonderful.
Because the context is, what do we do now? And she's saying, let's go get message. Let everyone have a message. We're going to go ahead and assume that it's going to work. Because if it doesn't work, the messages don't get sent. But if they didn't collect the messages wouldn't get sent. So she's right to say they should collect the messages.
No, she can tell them to make messages to get shit ready, but that doesn't mean she has to say assume success. Just because you're making messages doesn't mean you're assuming success. You're just being prepared. Jesse, you haven't chimed in.
I don't even have it.
Have you been?
Why did you shoot Marvin in the face?
Have you been listening?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think he honestly doesn't have an opinion, or he's too scared of either of us.
I think he's lying when he says he's been listening. I don't think. Yeah. Have you not been listening?
He thinks one or both of us will kick the shit out of him at the end.
What
of the podcast.
What have we been talking about?
I'm afraid of what you're going to do.
Anyway,
I'm not going to do anything to you.
We got to finish up. I want to finish up this list.
Do you not know? Do you not know what we're talking about?
He knows what we're talking about, but you got to. Well, let's finish your list because we can't.
I don't remember asking you, Patrick.
Yeah, I want to finish this list.
I didn't ask you though.
Yeah, I got to get up at 7:00
yes,
in the morning.
Yes, but you're delaying it by answering for Jesse.
All right, I'll be quiet.
You don't have an opinion?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, fine. Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, number three. After finding out that the phase amplitude of the visual link with the Romulan ship is within just a few megahertz of meeting transporter protocols, Taurus says, I'll need some help. Janeway says, you have my authorization to use any of the ship's personnel you need. This has top priority. And don't worry about secrecy. I doubt you'd be able to keep this quiet for very long. So my first issue there is, so she's not even going to try to keep it secret. She's just right. Assuming that they're not going to be able to keep it secret. That doesn't speak well for like Starfleet in general, if they can't keep a fucking secret. I understand that this
it's
is a very...
It's all this fucking Maquis, dirty Maquis people.
I understand that this is like a close gossipy ship at this
There's
point.
There's not that
but
many people.
I think it's Janeway doesn't trust the fucking Maquis. But, she's like, it's Torres, she's a Maquis.
Is your shit really that fucked up that you can't keep a secret? I mean, I guess you could say, oh, well, someone's going to see you doing like experiments and figure out what you're doing. Just even fucking try. And here's the other kicker. Torres even said at the beginning, she was like, Captain, and she's like, what is it, Milana? Yeah. And she's like, oh, I don't want to tell you here. Yeah. We got to do this in private. And then Taurus says, I think this will work, Captain, but I didn't want to bring it up in front of the other crew. It wouldn't be right to get their hopes up in case it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. See, Milana has the right approach. And Janeway even poo-pooed that. She was like, no, forget it. Just tell everybody. Fuck it. You know, and Milana was even like, we should keep this secret. And Janeway is just, so what I'm saying is there's a
theme.
Well,
she just said, don't worry about, like, keeping it secret. She didn't say like tell everybody.
She kind of did because she says don't worry about secrecy, meaning like don't even try, you know?
She said don't even try. Yes.
Right. She's like don't even bother trying. So, I don't know. I just seeing a theme here building up where Janeway is really not putting in any effort to like, you know, level off people's hopes. Anyway, next one, at the end, Telek says, of course, at the proper time, I will transmit them. If you should find a way back within... He's talking about their messages. If you should find a way back within my lifetime, I'd be an old man, but I would be welcome a message from you. I am Telek Remora of the blah, blah, blah Astrophysical Academy.
Right.
Janeway says...
Nerd!
Janeway says, I promise you'll hear from us because we will get back. She says, we will get back. Now...
Get back.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good leadership right there.
I think that's... No, because you don't know that you're going to back. And in fact...
Good leadership. You got to have hope in you. You got to provide hope.
There's a difference between hope and blind faith and... Or no. Not blind faith. I don't know. That's not the right term. Hope and just like optimism and just like... I don't know. What's the word for it? Being stupid? But like earlier in the...
that might be the phrase.
But check it out. She's even contradicting herself though, because earlier in the episode, she says to Telek, she says, Captain, every one of us on this ship has left behind friends, family, loved ones. We may not see them again for years, maybe never. So we can all understand how lonely you must be. So right there, she's admitting, she's saying, we might never see our people again. But now she's saying, we will come back. So not only is she being like too optimistic, she's conflicting. She's like being contradictory to herself. First, she says we may never. Then she says we will get back. Which is it, Janeway? Finally, Torres says compensating, transport complete. Captain, he made it. She just transported Telek back. Janeway says, I'll tell the crew. They can have the satisfaction of knowing that their messages have reached their families. Yeah. Wrong again, Janeway.
On this one, he died. I agree with you. Even before that, he died. I agree with you here that Janeway and frankly everyone involved was like too eager to assume that this crazy long-term plan, like of course he could have died or he could have forgotten or the Romulans could have said no, you're not allowed to send it, or he could have sent it and they could not have believed it or so, you know. The point is that I all the other Janeway bits is like not a big deal to me, but this one I was like, you got to couch this in a little bit more doubt. Be like, this is, we hopefully there's a good chance that this may have worked, but it is also kind of crazy to think that like 20 years later somebody will be around and actually be able to accomplish this.
I think for me if it was one isolated incident, I would have paid no mind, but because it kept happening, it just sort of gave off a sort of general philosophy of just like unrealistic positivity or something.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, just my way I see it.
Yeah, but she does have nice pajamas.
She does have nice pajamas. Oh yeah, glamour.
She's
hair.
All like, and she's all like in the moonlight, which is weird because there's space. And then she's
so
like,
glamorous.
She's like touching her chest a little bit, just being like,
yeah. Her hair is perfectly brushed, man. Very silky smooth, and great. But also, we never heard anything about this telex situation later on. Like, we never found out if the message made it.
I don't believe there's any follow up. I wouldn't be surprised if there's probably some novels where there's some sort of follow up or something. Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts about this episode? A weird one, because it is boring. It is generic. It is sort of tame. On the other hand, I kind of enjoyed sitting there watching it. Maybe because it was boring and relaxing.
I didn't unenjoy it.
Yeah.
Right. It was certainly thought-provoking.
Yeah, all right.
We have proved, and we made a lively...
The doctor stuff was good.
We made a lively podcast about it.
All right. So next week,
this guy over here is full of hell.
We're going to keep on the old... checking out some first season episodes.
Jesse, you are my rock.
It's going to be Enterprise this week, or next week, I should say. And we're going to discuss the season 1, episode 22, Vox Sola.
Vox Sola.
Vox Sola, a.k.a. the cum episode. If you don't know what that means, you will when you watch it. So go watch that episode on your streaming platform of choice or access or whatever we're allowed to do in this modern age that we live in. Watch the episode and we will discuss it next week. In the meantime, you can find us on social media at It's Got Star Trek. We got a website, itsgotstartrek.com. It's fucking easy, right? Mm-hmm. You can go to YouTube, Facebook, all that shit.
Wormholes, can they be randomly anywhere? Because they were saying there was a 25% chance that they would find the Alpha Quadrant and a 75% chance they wouldn't. So that implies that a wormhole can be literally anywhere.
I disagreed with their statistical. Yeah. I think that was a simplified statistical analysis. But
it could have just been one of the other.
Our quadrants. Understanding of wormholes was always like, normally wormholes are like short-lived and weird and random. The DS9 wormhole to the Gamma Quadrant being a stable wormhole is an aberration. Mm-hmm. Every now and then they find a stable wormhole and that can be super cool. Mm-hmm. Or involve gods and shit. So
I love that. Love that.
All right. So tune in next week. We're going to have all sorts of fun. Send in your where the hell have I heard that before guesses. And with that, we'll say goodbye.
Later.
Good night.
Good night. I will contact you again.
To what end? Verderon emanations. Tunneling secondary particles.
That's sexy.
We'll be in touch.
That's fucking sexy. The tunneling part is what's sexy.
Tunneling.
Computer, initiate emergency medical holographic program.
Please state the nature of the medical emergency.
There is no emergency, Doctor.
Well. That's good.